This is KWAI, Honolulu, 1080 on the AM dial.
Good morning, and welcome back to the second half of the Carol Cox Show. Love every minute of it. And just had a great visit there with Konishki, and and hopefully that any of you out there that willing to help and seeing all the problems that we have in the communities, lend a hand. And then join in out there at the E.K. Fernandez event in Kapolei this coming weekend. Well, last week we talked a bit about the politics and the religion and politics. And I want to make sure that many of you out there understand my discussion with religion isn't to say it's good or bad. It is to say that when people infiltrate and start to incorporate bad thoughts with religion, it becomes a problem. And I believe I would go and fight for Edsel Goso or anyone who believe that they have a right to believe. But I will not stand for or support anyone that wishes to influence and push their agenda on others, and how they are doing it through government and placing inside of government strategically, making a concerted effort to infiltrate government for all people and then dictate. That's a different approach. So now, last week I had Bruce Wilson on from TalkToAction.org, and he's back this week. And we're going to talk about a continued conversation, because there's, as we go, there's more things revealed, and there's more video, and there's more things that just shock your senses and your values. And I don't believe that we're getting the real play and the real exposure. This subject matter has been treated casually by the local media, and I believe that in my efforts is to, what little I can, is to bring to the table and expose what is really going on, and see that there is a concerted effort on the part of the Lieutenant Governor Duke Gayona, Ed Silvoso of the International Transformation Network and Network Hawaii. It's something you must be aware of. And I'm going to play a small piece here. This was put again, provided by Mr. Bruce Wilson. And we also have Rachel Tabachek, we'll get her name properly. And they're calling in from Boston and other places. So what we're going to do is, I want you to hear what took place, and a featured speaker that was attended the conference, Hawaii Transformation, last year, 2009, and listen closely, where they claim they will put their feet on Hawaii. And this is new things found by Bruce Wilson, and you'll find that Cam Cavasso, the young man Sean Kawakami, who's running for District 38 in Mililani, House of Representatives, and Beth Fukumoto, and we'll talk about them more. But they were there at this conference, too. Not to say they're guilty of anything by being there, but when you hear the rhetoric and you hear what they're prescribing. So just for about 2 minutes here, we're going to play. And good morning. Bruce, are you there?
For having me on.
Bruce, are you there?
I am here, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
and
for having me on again.
Rachel? Good morning, Rachel. Are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Thank you.
Well, thank you for joining us. And I'm going to take a brief period here and run this piece, where I want to let the listeners hear what we're really, the focus of this is, and what would be, I guess we'll call it, the catalyst for today's talk.
And we are church, stand and guard, and we put our foot on Hawaii. And you said every place where we put our foot, we will rule.
You know, it's easier to go to church, to go to God's church, than it is to be God's church. And that's why we're all here. We're one body of Christ. We're one church. And we're all here to disciple the nations, here in Hawaii and everywhere else. And I want you all to know that.
We are breaking every weapon of the enemy, that we are canceling every curse, and we are declaring that there is a future and there is a hope for Hawaii. and there is an even greater future for the lieutenant governor and his wife.
And in the name of Jesus, we command you to flee.
We break generational curses. We break generational curses. We break generational curses. And we plead the blood of Jesus over every altar of demon, over every altar of ancestral spirit, over every altar of false religion. And in Jesus' name, we declare that you are the King of Hawaii. You are the Lord of Hawaii. We dispossess the gods of Hawaii, and we lift up the one and true God, Jesus Christ. And we, your church, stand on guard, and we put our foot on Hawaii. And you said every place where we put our foot, we will rule. So we are the kingdom. The kingdom is here.
Okay. It's all for itself. This is Dr. Pat Francis, who's a guest speaker, featured speaker at the November 2009 Hawaii Transformation. Bruce, we got a caller for right away here saying they will have a comment, but go ahead and again introduce yourself and then Rachel right quick, and we'll see what the caller has a question like.
Okay, I've been on Carol's show high out there in Hawaii, and I've been on Carol's show several times talking about Duke Iona and the International Transformation Network and his relationship with it. And joining me now is my fellow researcher, Rachel Tabachnik, who actually got me started on the Hawaii story. And she first noticed Duke Iona in footage at one of Ed Solosa's conferences. And so I can really credit her with helping set this whole thing in motion. So, and Carol just played some audio from some new video I just happened to watch a couple of days ago, and there's lots of video from these conferences about Silvosos, and so I hadn't had a chance to look at all of it. I just looked at this piece a couple of days ago and was shocked to find Ed Silvoso introducing Pat Francis, a speaker at his event, and she was a keynote speaker, who then proceeded to talk about how the movement, all these evangelical Christians operating out of all these mega churches in Hawaii, intend to put their foot on Hawaii. It just doesn't sound good, and so that was part of the audio that Carol displayed, and Duke Iona also was towards the front of the audio, and he gave a speech at the ceremony that opened the whole conference, which was in November 2009 at the conference. You just heard audio from that conference.
Mm-hmm.
And so Iona gave a speech opening the conference, and then he was prayed over by Ed Silvoso and his international transformation leaders. It was really like a coronation. So how's that, Carol, for an introduction?
Oh, it's good enough for me.
Right. Well, let me add a couple of things to that. Thanks so much for having me on the show.
Right,
and this
Rachel.
Is my first time on the show.
Okay.
Let me just put that in context a little bit. Pat Francis is another apostle in the international network of apostles that Ed Silvoso belongs to. So there's several hundred of these apostles, and they belong to the same network. And so she was, of course, brought in, like many of the apostles are, for these international transformation network conferences. And another thing I should point out, the particular ceremony that people heard, and unfortunately they didn't see it, if they want to see it, they can go to Talk to Action and see it. But the particular ceremony is one that's been repeated all over the United States and all around the world for transformation. And that's a brand name for the apostles' desire to take Christian dominion over communities. Transformation is the brand name. So you have Transformation Hawaii, you have Transformation Movies, you have Transformation Organizations in cities all over the world now that came out of this particular movement of this network of several hundred apostles. And one other thing quickly, the ceremony that you could see in the video, like I said, it's been repeated all over the country. And the ceremony means very specific things to the people who are doing it. They write about it in their books. They write about it in their media. And the idea of the ceremony is to remove the demonic spirits from the land so that they can take authority over the land. And they, some of these ceremonies involve things like signing divorce decrees from Baal, which is considered a demonic spirit. Sometimes the ceremonies have involved the smashing of native artifacts. But these ceremonies are taking place all over. So when you watch the video, this is not just rhetoric. This is a ceremony with specific meaning.
Mm-hmm. I see. Well, you can also, I've posted a link to that at carolcox.com, carolcox.com, and talk to action, that's talk to the number two action, dot net.
Dot org.
Talk to
dot
action.
Org.
Yes, talk to action, dot org. And they are up there as well as other videos. If you would, hold a moment. Lynn, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. I just want to make a comment.
Okay, go for it.
Okay, I know that you're trying to tarnish Dukayona's name before the elections. However, I think that we need to do a little more talk about what the Democrats have done. And I think we need to vote Republican.
Well,
and I'm tired of hearing all this name bashing.
Well, Lynn,
and I think we need maybe to talk about the Bilderberg group.
Well, Lynn.
Thank you. I'll hang up.
You're welcome to come in and get a show here. They're open to the public and any other Republican or Democrat. If you wish to express yourself, then you're smarter than I am. You know exactly what I'm thinking, and you say that we're tarnishing. If we can't speak the truth, then things have already been tarnished. And stop drinking the Kool-Aid.
Let me point something out here. I think this very much transcends politics. We've been writing on Talk to Action about the transformation movement and the apostles who belong to this movement for well over 2 years. And this concerns Republicans and Democrats. And also very clearly in Hawaii, you had a case where there are Democratic candidates who also are involved in International Transformation Network and in Transformation Hawaii.
Right.
So this transcends political boundaries.
Exactly. And we know that. This is what they do, ravenous, mad people do when they have nothing else and they're revealed and exposed. We've talked about Norman Sakamoto, who's Democrat, and a state senator who was running for lieutenant governor. We've talked about the ethics complaint involving his involvement with Dukayona and the Ed Silvoso. We've talked about Gary Aquino, who is a city councilman who's a Democrat. We've talked about Mufi Hanneman, who's a Democrat. So it doesn't wash, and this is the nonsense, and they reach into the septic tank to try and quench our thirst. It just won't work here. So good day, good night. But let's go on with the logical things in life. What's going on with this is that Bruce showed this, shared this video, and within the first 30 seconds, we see Cam Cavasso. He's running for United States Senate against Mr. Senator Daniel Inouye. So, as you say, this Cavasso, I'm giving you an example, sitting eating breakfast, and Mr. Cavasso approaches, not knowing who I am and the other people, and mid-sentence he interrupts us, and he, do you believe in same-sex marriage? Do you believe in abortions? I don't. My name is Cam Cavasso. You need to vote for me. Don't vote for Daniel Inouye. It is this kind of arrogance and this behavior. So for people like Lynn and others, this is what we're speaking to. Nothing to do with politics. I'm just afraid I may wake up in the morning and find that because the Bible say I can't socialize with white people because I'm black, you never know, because there is verses in there that speak about blacks being lesser people and on and on and on and on. And so forget it. We'll move on. Bruce, what do we do with this video? Are you trying to get it out to the national level? Because we're not too successful in getting it brought to the level, the local here, as we really need to.
Well, I've been doing what I can. I can't guarantee anything. Although I'd have to say that I think that your listeners who are concerned about this, the fact that Duke Ayana is involved with this group that whose speakers say they want to put their foot on Hawaii, if your listeners are concerned about it, they can take it upon themselves to contact Hawaii media and ask people in TV and radio and print, why isn't this being covered?
Mm-hmm.
Because I started writing on it, as Rachel noted, back in April, and I wrote a huge extended report on it then, and you got it into the media when you filed your ethics complaints regarding Duke Ayona and Norman Sakamoto accepting money to go to an Argentina conference of the International Transformation Network. So the story's been out there for a long time, but Hawaii media has been amazingly resistant to looking into this issue.
Mm-hmm.
So,
I think, you know, part of that's because the issue is very complex, too.
Sure.
This is a non-denominational movement. It's very sectarian. It has a very specific ideology, a very specific theology. But I think it's hard for people to get their heads around it. I mean, we joke all the time that if these were Southern Baptists who were these apostles, you know, going around the world doing all of these ceremonies and talking about taking conquest over the land, we would know about it. Because we could say, okay, we know what that group is, we recognize, we label them as a certain belief system. But what the apostles have done with the transformation movement is it's supposedly completely non-denominational, and they market it as being very open. But they are selling a very specific Christian supremacist ideology, which attacks other Christian denominations,
mm-hmm,
very openly,
mm-hmm,
and also attacks Roman Catholicism very openly, which is one of the things that makes Duke Ayona's participation particularly curious.
Mm-hmm. Well, I one thing, and I won't continue to harp on this, but I'd just like to bring to the attention of this caller, for example. Now, we hadn't spoken a word about the show. This show could have been complimenting Ayona. We hadn't spoken anything, and the phone rings, and she's on hold to make that statement. So what does that suggest? And while I appreciate and I'm flattered that she thinks the world is listening to me, so I think that the listeners out there will deduce for themselves that how does one call up a show before the show begins and going to correct you and chastise you for saying something you haven't spoken. So anyway, that just gives you the climate. We're here. They're very sensitive about it now. And that's why we need to bring it out in the open. And I applaud Bruce, as I've had many a times, and Rachel, what you folks do in bringing this. Because my radar didn't pick it up.
Well, I think our purpose, Carol, is protecting religious pluralism.
Mm-hmm.
This is not at all about being anti-religious. We believe very strongly that separation of church and state protects the wide range of religions that we have in our country. And therefore, by protecting religious separation of church and state and religious pluralism, then we are protecting the rights of Catholics, Baptists, Lutherans, Muslims, Jews, whomever.
And the Sivoso, right?
The problem with this movement is that it is an attack on separation of church and state, and it's an attack on the rights of other people to practice their religion. And going into public venues, public schools, public settings, and insisting and having the lieutenant governor support one particular belief system in those settings is very problematic.
Mm-hmm. And recruiting, not only is he speaking at these events, he's recruiting, as we've played video and audio, where he, the lieutenant governor, has actually sat and recruited. But one of the things that I've attempted to contact Beth Fukumoto, who's running for the 37th District of House in Mililani, I've sent an email. She won't respond. So this really causes some alarm in me, in that even in election time, how does one selectively decide who they're going to speak with and not ask or answer questions? But That in itself is Kawakami, all in one effort. And Kawakami said that he was not, this was not a concerted effort. And I might be wrong for assuming that if you have that number of people who are in trying to get into office at this one event, is it a valid worry that I have?
Carol, I also, a friend in Hawaii emailed me to let me know that he discovered that he discovered yet another Republican, Chris Barron, who's running for the Hawaii State House of Representatives in District 18. He's involved with the International Transformation Network. In fact, he is an officer of Transformation Hawaii, you know, along there with Cal Chenin and Susan Mulcahy and Francis Oden and a whole bunch. So he's an official member.
I see. But
so I add that to the list of Hawaii politicians running for the House of Representatives who were definitely involved in some way in this guy very, very closely.
Yeah.
And Carol, back to your question, should you be concerned about this concerted effort? One of the things that Bruce has done is to put on the website a number of clips from these conferences, the international conferences that have been held in Argentina and also in Hawaii. And one of the things that you see there is that, you know, when Duke Iona or others attend these conferences, they certainly must be very aware of what the agenda is of these conferences. To give you an example, well, let me back up a minute and say, Caroline Oda, the wife of Francis Oda, wrote a letter that was published in press this week claiming that these the whispers that were going on were malicious and not based in fact. And then proceeded to describe ITN and Transformation Hawaii as being charitable organizations. And she particularly referred to the work we've done on Uganda and ITN's involvement in Uganda. And I couldn't believe how deceptive this was. If you look at the 2008 conference video, you will see that they very clearly talk about going into Uganda, training 14,000 churches in 80 districts in the country. They very specifically say that they are doing this to train them in transformation principles. They talk about that they are training a church that's run by the daughter of the president and first lady, and that this church is spearheading a program called Kampala City of God. So for them then to Hawaiians to say, oh no, we're doing charitable work at a hospital, is incredibly deceptive. If you watch these conferences, you know, they say things like, Uganda is critical and important for world conquest. And Silvosa says, Uganda is poised to be the first nation to be transformed. And I think that Hawaiians have a right to know, what does it mean when ITN comes in and transforms a city or a state or a nation? What does that mean?
Yeah, and I'd add that one of the apostles in this network, of which Ed Silvosa is also a part, he's an apostle in the network, has been credited with gathering the military commitments from Ugandan legislators that enabled the so-called Kill the Gays bill to be introduced early in 2010. So this is quite relevant. These are it's perfectly legitimate, I'd say, for Hawaiians to wonder who are these people, and if they're involved with that sort of thing outside the U.S., well, what will they do as they gain more and more power in Hawaii and elsewhere in the United States?
Well, I'm concerned as a citizen and as just an individual of the state of Hawaii that my lieutenant governor, he has a right to go and participate in anything in his private life. And as I've said many times, I'd be the first to defend him. But when you go in as the lieutenant governor, and clearly there's some benefit to Ed Silvoso and any others who speak and introduce him at these gatherings as the lieutenant governor of Hawaii, Well, that tells me that there's a great benefit to it, and then they exchange the favor, so to speak. Iona knows that if he's favorable to them, he'll have that voting block, and on and on and on. So there's some serious issues with this. And when I look back, praying is something that we all can do, and we know the value of it, and whatever we pray to. But when you're standing there and you're preaching hate and hatred and bigotry, and then you're saying you're going to walk your way into government via the lieutenant governor or the Norman Sakamoto's or the Gary Okino's or the Sean Kawakami or the Beth Fukumoto or Cam Cavasso, I get worried.
Cal, let me give you another example of how I feel they've been deceptive about their responses on this. For one thing, in a lot of the media, they've tried to play down the fact that Iona went around claiming the state for Jesus in 2004. Now, of course, he's done it a lot since then, too.
Mm-hmm.
But they tried to play this down as if, okay, this was done privately, this was prayer, it's no big deal. Well, on the other hand, if it's no big deal, then why has it been used in promotional material and publicity all over the world? ITN has used videos of this. They've used it in literature. And to give you an idea of how widespread this was, a Canadian magazine published by Christian Business Ministries in 2005, in their summer issue, dedicated a full page to Duke Iona and his dedication of the state to Jesus. And they had the text there, and they described it as being part of the transformation of the marketplace in Hawaii.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if this was insignificant, why is it in promotional literature all over the world and in magazines in Canada?
Mm-hmm. And Bruce, if you would describe the marketplace, it's not the farmer's market.
No, not at all. Basically, what Itzelvoso means when he talks about the marketplace is everything outside the four walls of the church. So it's business and government and education and media, everything.
Mm-hmm.
So when Itzelvoso talks about, say, marketplace apostles, what he means, what his movement is trying to encourage, is for Christians in this movement to attempt to influence to influence everyone within their sphere, whether they're in government or business or whatever, and to promote this movement's agenda in those spheres. So it's really a sort of totalitarian vision that there's no, it completely obliterates any distinction between church and state.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know,
and that is their stated mission. We have another researcher who calls it totalist, and it is a totalist mission that the lines be completely blurred. And they very specifically state that their apostles are to have authority over all of these things.
Mm-hmm.
And so these things would also come under the authority of apostolic government, just as the church would come under the authority of apostolic government. And another one of their stated goals is the elimination of denominations. So everybody is supposed to come together outside of denominations under the authority of their apostles.
Mm-hmm. Well, here's something. If you read, I have a flyer of Beth Fukumoto, and they, in this flyer and anything else you see, nothing in reference to her involvement with ITN. They won't talk about it. Sean Kawakami wanted to know, why was I interested in this? Well, you're running for public office. I want to know how and what's going to shape your legislative involvement. And so she says, ensure good jobs, quality education, lower cost of living. I'm going to step out of the religious circle for a moment and remind all the listeners out there is that, not speaking specific to the religion of Duke Iona and his beliefs, but to speak to the political shortcomings. And that is, he's been around nearly 8 years now. And we're in a bad economy. We had furloughs. Where was he? Has he demonstrated? So let's speak to the political aspects. Is he capable? No. He's been around and following Lingle for 8 years. we've had some bad decisions. We had the super ferry to come in under their administration. So if we want to speak to, as they say, the worldly issues, or in the world, he's failed there too. So for Lynn and other listeners, you have to incorporate these things and ask, are we going to be guided by beliefs, a system of beliefs, or are we going to be guided by people that can do? And he's shown us that he can't do, but he can believe. But anyway, stepping back in the role, the concern I have with ITN and TNN and all of those, Pat Robinson also gave his blessings. Am I correct, Bruce?
Sure, yeah, he did. Yeah, Pat Robertson did.
And what was said specifically? I don't have it in front of me here, but...
I don't have the immediate quote, but in the earlier part of 2010, Pat Robertson's 700 Club did about a five-minute feature on Duke Iona, and it was very... very friendly, and it was, I don't think that Pat Robertson said specifically, I endorse Duke Iona, but it was implicit. He was clearly thrilled with Iona's candidacy.
And he's a good-looking guy, paraphrasing something to that.
Yeah, and Robertson is interesting in this context, too, because Pat Robertson was the leader who, as much as anyone, helped get the evangelical right into politics in the mid to late 1980s, and during which time he was helping evangelical Christians infiltrate the Republican Party, and he was passing out flyers which advised people to not show their agenda and to not not to state their to hide their Christian evangelical agenda until they were in office, which is exactly what we seem to be seeing, or it seems to be what you're describing. With the candidates you've been contacting who are running for the Hawaii legislature, not being upfront about the fact that they're in this case, you've contacted two candidates who are at that rally where Apostle Pat Francis shouts about how they're going to put their foot on Hawaii. So the question is, well, what are they as candidates? If they were there at that rally, do they agree with that agenda, and what does it mean?
Well, my concern in this, and from my perspective, the churches have played a great role in the lives of many of people. I can't think of right now of Dr. Martin Luther King. Look what good churches brought us. This is a different type of religious effort here, it seems, that the evangelicals seem to want to grasp and then force down your throat and then shape legislation and put in place politicians to carry out what it is they want.
Carol, let me point out that ITN does not represent all evangelicals, and ITN doesn't even represent all conservative evangelicals. This is a very specific type of belief system. ITN and all the transformation movements, which there are lots of them all around the world now, came out of before this group of apostles organized in the 1980s. Edsel Verso and some of the other top apostles were trying to find ways to evangelize areas quickly. And they did this sort of an experiment in Argentina, where Edsel Verso claimed that they had no evangelical churches in this area because of a warlock. So the experiment was about spiritual warfare and warfare prayer, which is what you see in this video, is warfare prayer. And a movement developed around this, which later became this network of apostles. This is not mainstream evangelicalism. I grew up Southern Baptist. I can assure you there was nothing like this in Southern Baptist when I was a child. They developed a whole new glossary of terms, and they'll tell you these terms didn't exist 10 years ago. Now it's more like 20 years ago, but they'll tell you in their publicity, in their books, in their media, that this is a new thing, and it really is a new thing. This idea that you go into an area and that you have these ceremonies to drive out demons is not very traditional evangelicalism. So all that to say, we should not let them claim to represent Christianity not even conservative evangelicals. They don't. They're not representing all of conservative evangelicalism.
Yeah, when I was younger and I was baptized, the Southern Baptists like you, Rachel, but the problem is no one today, the rhetoric that's being bounced around, no one preached that to us when we were younger. It was for different reasons. It was you as an individual and what you can do to help people, but not steer people. That's where I'm a little confused and taking a great interest in this. It seems though that they want to shape and steer as if we're supposed to be followers of the ITN opposed to following of the word or what have you, or the believing in the religious aspect.
Yeah.
Let me say, Carol, in fairness, after I married my husband, I converted. I am now Jewish. So let me just put that out there to be honest. But I did grow up Southern Baptist, and I'm very, and my family, a lot of my family is still Southern Baptist and very aware of Southern Baptist beliefs. But I think you said something important there, that religion is often about personal piety or personal moral decisions, and this new technique of spiritual warfare is not about that. It's about taking territory.
Mm-hmm.
And you see the use of words like territorial demons and to possess the land. Cindy Jacobs is another apostle who's spoken at lots of these ITN events, and she writes about possessing the land. They use military terminology throughout all of their writings and publicity. So, you know, to the general public, they're showing the front of love and unity and charity. When you get into their conferences, into the material they put out to their own, it is militant and it's about conquest.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Carol, I agree with your sense of any bemusement about this movement. I mean, if getting into our backgrounds, personal backgrounds here, I mean, my late father was active in the civil rights movement and then ended up working to oppose the Vietnam War, and he was a Methodist minister, and that was the tradition I was familiar with, and this seems light years away, but backing up from even denominations and issues about political orientation, whether one is left or right, it seems to me that this movement, the Christianity I grew up with seemed to be about, the tradition seemed to be about expanding rights for people generally, and this seems to be about restricting rights for people, and even worse. So in Uganda, well, there a report just came out at the National World Media a couple of days ago that the legislator in Uganda who's most actively spearheading the push to enact this law, this so-called Kill the Gays bill in Uganda.
Mm-hmm.
He just announced, well, yes, we're going to pass it, or we're going to pass it very soon. So that's a bill which would imprison or execute hundreds of thousands, if not a few million people in Uganda, a significant part of the population. So that's so different from the Christianity I grew up with. I don't want to call it not Christianity, but it's utterly unfamiliar to me.
Mm-hmm. Well,
and the apostles have been deeply involved in this, not mm-hmm. just Ed Silvoso, but a number of other apostles. Ed Silvoso is in the inner circle, what they call the prophetic council of this network of apostles. And included in that inner circle is another apostle who went there in May to have a rally, an anti-gay rally, where other apostles from Uganda got up on the stage and supported this horrific bill. And this bill would even imprison people who don't report homosexual behavior.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, here again, this is a place where ITN and IONA have claimed they have nothing to do with this. But if you go to Talk to Action, Bruce did a wonderful compilation of video showing the extent to which these apostles are involved. And a lot of this work, again, is done under this brand name of Transformations. So they've done transformation movies since 1999. I think the one published in 2001 had a whole section on Uganda. And then later, around 2004, They did a transformation series movie that was completely about Uganda and featured one of the Ugandan apostles.
Mm-hmm.
So the involvement there is extensive.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, this locally here, where I'm concerned, Sean Kawakami, he reports on his website, I'm looking at it now, he was a youth pastor. Beth, if you look at some of the things, quite religious. And is it just mere coincidence that these young people would be there with Ed Silvoso on the stage in a frenzy, excited, while Dr. Price or Dr. Pat Francis is talking about putting the feet on Hawaii? I'm just a little perplexed, and they don't openly talk about this, even when you reach out to ask questions. They are evasive. Now, Sean reports that he, Kawakami, did in fact go to Argentina to attend the Silvoso, the conference that Iona and Sakamoto and Okino went to. Now, I don't know if this Kawakami is related to the Miles Kawakami who paid for Iona's trip and paid Iona's wife. That's where we filed the ethics complaint. But it's just a strange coincidence that they share the same name, they share the same background, and being at the same meeting. So it's worth watching, folks.
Yeah, what strikes me, Carol, is that, I just thinking about it, if I were a politician, a candidate running for office, and I were at that event where as soon as Pat Francis started to shout about putting their foot on Hawaii, I would have put my hands over my face and bolted out the door for fear that I would be videotaped at that conference. it's very strange that all this was videotaped as if they thought no one would be watching, and it was almost the case that no one was. I mean, I almost missed it, and no one else appears to have been watching, but the idea that there are all these candidates running for office just standing there listening to that and clapping or waving their arms, it's mind-blowing to me.
Yeah, they're attempting to weave their political and religious fibers into what the fabric of the whole community. For example, as a husband, a father of two daughters, and a Christian, I am pro-life, against abortion, and against physician-assisted suicide. I'm pro-traditional marriage, parentheses, against civil unions and against same-sex marriage, and then pro-family. So I'm sorry, it's not just a coincidence that the two of them, or the four of them, would be there at this meeting. Right, at this conference, and again, an equal opportunity. Now they speak, and then on Beth, for example, as a Christian, my values and concerns are improving poverty and community health. Then it says here, protecting traditional marriage, which means I would vote no on bills like HB 444 and same-sex marriage. Preserving life, which means I am pro-life and against physician-assisted suicide. These sounds like little minions that Hitler has deposited amongst us.
They all seem to have the same talking points.
Yeah.
And the idea that conventional marriage is somehow under attack by gay marriage, I find it really strange, given that, well, I live in Massachusetts, which has had gay marriage for 6 or 7 years now, I think. And the idea that somehow would threaten my marriage relationship with my wife is absurd to me. As a matter of fact, I've been tracking this, Massachusetts has long had the lowest divorce rate in the country, and there's some reasons it's actually quite hard to get divorced in Massachusetts, but anyway, it's had the lowest rate for a long time, and it's still been dropping, gay marriage or not, the rate is still dropping, so the institution of marriage in Massachusetts, which has the first state to get gay marriage, is thriving.
Yeah. Rachel, we're coming down close. You got any closing comment? And we will do this again, because I'm now invigorated by Lynn. I thought no one would really ever dare do that, but I'm we'll talk about we will talk about this until the cows come home. So
Let me just add, Carol, I very much support a church's right to stand on these issues wherever they choose. The reason we're working on this is, for one thing, this is very deceptive. This is a stealth movement by these transformation movements to get into communities, to get into charity, and then charities and then push their ideas. But the other thing about it is this is something they intend to make all of us live by.
Right.
They intend to tear down the wall of separation of church and state. I defend their right to stand wherever they want on the issues, but this idea that they are going to take what they call dominion over society and government, and then they're going to enforce this on all of us, is not acceptable.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, we're down to the closing, but Bruce and Rachel, we'll have you back again for sure in the coming month or so, because I'm going to do some background checking, some more, because Cavasso and those others got by me on this one. So we're out of time now, but I'll get back with you, and talktoaction.org is, you can find this information, or carol@carolcox.com. Okay?
Thank you so much.
Thank you for joining me. Okay. Aloha.
Bye-bye. Aloha.
Well, not enough time in a day. Anyway, we're going to close, and I had someone ask me to name the Ethics Commission, and that covered up Iona's complaint and washed it. Maria J. Sullivan, she's the chairperson of the State Ethics Commission. David J. Randall, he's an MD vice chairperson. William H. Montgomery, medical doctor commissioner. Cassandra J. Leolani. Abdul, she's a commissioner, and Leah M. Knudsen, she's a commissioner. These are the people that watched this thing and covered up justice and provided Iona with an excuse not to face justice. Anyway, thank you, and I'll see you next week.
I'm coming home, baby, now. I'm coming home now, right away. I'm coming home, baby, now. I'm sorry now I ever went away. Every night and day I go and stay. I'm coming home, baby.
Come on home.
Coming home, baby, now.
You know I'm waiting here for you.
I'm coming home now, real soon.
You've been gone.
Coming home, baby, now.
You don't know what I'm going through.
I'm coming home, I know I'm overdue. I'm coming home.
Come on home.
Coming home, baby, now.
You know I'm praying every night.
And everything is gonna be fine.
Please come on.
Coming home, baby, now.
I want to feel you hold me tight.
Expect to see me now anytime.
When I'm in your arms.
In my arms, I'll be fine. I'm coming home.
Come on home.
I'm coming home, baby, now.
You know I'm coming every day.
I'm coming home now. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Put your phone.
I'm coming home, baby, now.
And baby, let me hear you say.
I'm coming home, you're hearing what I say.
And you're coming home.
And I never will go away. I'm coming home. Back now, no more.
All alone.
I'm pressing on, baby, now.
And take me up and down the floor.
Oh, hear me holler back and hear me roar.
Thanks for listening, and tune in again next time for the Carol Cox Show on K108.
This is KWAI, Honolulu, 1080 on the AM dial.